This show furnished by Roland Gervy and Wynn. It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervy & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kasem.
Yes, I am Alan Gervy. Welcome to Gervy's Law. What great sound. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervy and Wynn, and today, as usual, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. Wow, what a show we have. I got to tell you, folks, call everyone you know and tell them to listen to Gervy's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am looking across from the most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh, well, gosh. It's because I have makeup on today.
I've never seen you with makeup.
No, I usually don't put on a lot of makeup because it's radio, and that's why I love this job, but I am fully done up.
You are. This is Kerry Kasem, my wonderful co-host. Now, we are in a new place. We have moved. We're not in the old studio.
I know. And until you did your running around, but before Alan gets on the air, he does, I mean, he is hilarious. He does this like kind of running around with his arms up in the air and high fives everybody. And it cracked me up. But I have to say, this is the first place that my dad, across the street, this whole, like, all of Westwood
Complex,
One.
We call
Complex,
it. Complex.
Yes,
Westwood One, we have moved.
Yes.
And your dad was here back
my dad
in
was
the
here,
day.
Yeah, way back in the day. It was the first place my dad ever took me to hear him do his show.
Really?
So I started to tear up as I was driving down the street. Literally had to pull it together. Had to not cry because it hit me so hard. I didn't think it would. But thank God we came across the street because there's two studio, like, you know, places.
Two buildings.
Two complexes.
I'm getting used to the place.
Oof.
I felt like I was walking into a dungeon first, but now I'm kind of liking it. It's like I can see you. It's not huge. It's just so intimate. And knowing that your dad was here and in the day, Loveline. I mean,
yes.
Can you imagine how many people called and talked about sex right here in this studio?
A lot of people.
So KBC Studios was sold and they have moved to the old Westwood One buildings. And here we are. Gervy's Law moved with them. I did not want to sit on that property over there and get bulldozed when that building went down. It still hasn't gone down yet.
I thought that all of us, you know, Dino, Debbie, you, me, we could all hold hands and make that chain so they don't bulldoze it.
They're so close to us. Dino and Debbie, I feel like you're sitting on my lap.
Debbie's
crying. Is a lap dance. Now we're doing Loveline. No, we're not.
I hope not.
This is fun. I love this. I'm going to sleep here. There's no roof over me, but I'm going to sleep in this studio.
I know that, you know, you are very spoiled because we had beautiful, beautiful studios. They were very large and they were beautiful. But let me tell you something. This is so much more technologically advanced and nicer. I just
got a text. People are hearing me for the first time in 4 years. They're actually hearing my voice. And what a voice it is. You know, Kerry, we were talking about your dad.
Yeah.
You know what I did last night?
What?
I watched the Reels docuseries, The Autopsy. I think that's what it's called.
It's really
on your
morbid.
Dad.
Autopsy, The Final Hours of Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has everyone watched it?
There's a lot of people. I've had literally hundreds of comments and emails saying, why isn't Gene Kasem in jail? Those would be
questions.
Well,
it seems like it.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's on the Reels channel. I'm sure you can find it elsewhere.
It's playing this weekend, and tomorrow, Sunday, it will be playing again. So just look for it. It's the Reels channel, and people say, what's that? It's R-E-E-L-Z, like a Reels. Like it's, you know, like movie Reels.
Right, and Reels it takes channel. You through everything that happened with Kerry's dad. It's very sad because you end up thinking, why the heck isn't Gene Kasem in jail?
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying. Why did the DA not prosecute? I actually wrote a little open letter to the DA, Jackie Lacey, and I said, if a TV show can put all the evidence together, why couldn't you? And, you know, and I think a lot of people feel that same way.
Did she respond?
No, she never, you know, she didn't have the...
courtesy?
Thank you.
The professionalism?
Thank you.
The class?
Thank you. To call the family and let them know her decision.
Yeah.
She never called us. She never, I mean, there was nothing.
It's terrible. And when you watch the show, you just think, wow, that Gene Kasem looks really strange. I mean, is that a man that's playing her in the documentary? I mean, it's huge. I'm serious. I couldn't figure out.
You dare say
that
what I cannot.
No, I did. I was just watching the show. I didn't understand it.
It's
like your dad was married to a large man with blonde hair and glasses.
It's, you know, I'm.
What?
I can't respond to that. I love you. That's all I can say, Alan. I love you. Thank you.
You did a great job in it. You and Julie, who were interviewed throughout.
Yeah.
And, of course, the doctor. He's a wonderful guy. We need to get him on the show.
Dr. Michael Hunter. I don't know if he's listening right now. Stan, the man who produced it, along with Luke in England over there. I just adore them all. They have the courage to do what a lot of other people wouldn't.
Right.
And I know that they had to go back and say, look, you know, you always have to tell two sides. Always. Always. And they said, look, we're going to get your side, but we have to talk to Gene and we have to get the side. By the time they were through with all the medical records and all, because this took about 4 months to put together, and all of the court records, they said, there's really only one story we can tell. There isn't another side.
Well, I think as a lawyer, we like to see both sides, even if you don't really believe the other side. You want to hear what the other people have to say. And when we talk later on the show, coming up, we're going to talk about Making a Murderer. A lot of people love that show, the docu-series that was on Netflix, 10 episodes. And today is the one-year anniversary of the first episode of Making a Murderer. And we're going to have, after the break, Stephen Drizin, who's clinical professor of law and assistant dean at Northwestern Law School. And guess what? He represents Brendan Dassey in the post-conviction litigation. And we are going to hear it from Mr. Drizin, the whole story behind the conviction of Brendan Dassey and then overturning the conviction. Brendan Dassey, of course, is the nephew of Stephen Avery. He's still in prison because there is an appeal going on. We're going to hear from Stephen Drizin. So you want to hear both sides. You want to be able to know what really goes through a judge's brain. What's going on, Carrie?
I hear some beeping.
Yeah, well, that's just me. I'm just, you know, again, I'm turned on. It's the Loveline studio, and the beeping goes off. So I want to tell you something, because this isn't all about you. This show is not all about you.
What?
Later in the show, though, we're going to have Jesse Kaplan on.
We are.
What a great attorney.
Friedman and Tatelman. I hope I'm saying that right. He's, you know, I have to say I adore my attorneys. They're good men. They're ethical men. And they won some. And I don't. I had.
Martha,
yes, you're right. Martha was a great attorney as well.
Yeah.
But yes, so he has some ties to some really famous cases that we can talk about too as well.
And we're going
to
talk about your case. You're suing your former partner. We're going to talk about that. You guys don't want to miss it, because Carrie has a lot to say about what has occurred in her fight to stop elder abuse. So I've got 1 minute. Before we go to the break, we have 1 minute and 32 seconds, and I have to blow my own horn, because this week...
No, can I say just congratulations?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I was so into my own head coming here.
Thank you.
A huge congratulations.
Huge.
Yes.
So I was awarded in the entire state from the California Applicant Attorneys Association the Harold W. Wax Outstanding Merit Award for a lifetime of achievement, although, you know, it's not really a lifetime. The introduction at the event this past Wednesday night was quite incredible. It was provided by Harold Wax's son, Alan Wax. He told my whole life story, talked about me stripping on a cruise ship when I was 22 years old, and my trips to Cuba, and all of these things that I've done throughout my life, and finally got to my accomplishments as a lawyer. I am very thankful. I gave a a very inspiring speech at the event. And hopefully, if Jason Rose gets it together, he'll be able to put it up on our Facebook page.
Well, the pictures are there. I saw some pictures.
There's some pictures.
Yes.
Those are on my personal page, okay. Not on the Gervie's Law. But it was a great event. I thanked a lot of people who have been instrumental in my career, as well as my family, who has been instrumental. I talked about my wife, Nancy, of course, and little Hudson and Harper, my mom and dad, and my brother, sister, nieces, nephew, everyone else. So it's kind of fun to get that kind of award and have the opportunity to thank everyone who has had an impact in your life. So I am very thankful, and I really appreciate the accolades and all those people on Facebook who have said congratulations to me.
And from me, too. Huge congratulations. You've won, actually, quite a lot of awards, and you've been awarded. I mean, you're a super attorney.
Yeah. Speaking of super attorneys, in January, there's a special article that's coming out on me in the Super Lawyers magazine.
Really?
And yeah, and today, in fact, they were going over some of the photos that they're putting in, and there's a picture of me jumping up and down at a Buddhist monastery in Tibet. So you don't want to miss the Super Lawyer, seriously, the Super Lawyers article coming out in late January. We have to take a quick break. We're going to have Stephen Drizin, and we're going to, on Attorney Extraordinaire, we're going to talk about making a murderer right after this. You're listening to Gervie's Law from the greatest studio in the world right here in Culver City, California.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
If you have hard water, if you have hard water, the lime scale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate lime scale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
It's Macy's One Day Sale.
Saturday.
With our lowest prices of the season.
And amazing deals of the day store-wide.
Like Charter Club cashmere sweater.
Now only $39.99.
Take an extra 40% off.
Clearance designer handbag.
Get a Samsung Gear S2 Classic smartwatch.
$239.99 to $289.99.
Plus get a free strap.
Clearance dress shirts and ties.
75% off.
And save 70%.
On all Martha Stewart flannel bedding.
Sheet sets.
And throws.
Earn plenty points during Macy's One Day Sale.
Plenty.
Lots of points.
Lots of places.
One rewards program.
Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Santa, that sure is a nice package you have there. Can I see what's inside?
Ho, ho, ho! Not this year, Jane. It's your husband's turn.
Bill?
That's right. Bill's in for quite the surprise when he opens this package. I stopped at DXL and got everything he needs. They have all the best men's brands in waist sizes 38 and up. Shop DXL stores now through December 24th for deals from 30 to 50% off. See store for details.
What if you could store your IRA or 401k where you could see, touch, and hold it in person in the form of physical gold and silver coins? With the Augusta Gold and Silver IRA, you can transfer retirement savings into physical coins and store them where you can actually see them. Getting started is absolutely free, so call now, 855-858-5807. Call toll free, 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta Gold IRAs.
Say, what is this? You know what it is.
790-790-790-790-790. KABC.
need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend, call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes! Call us now. We're back at Gervey's Law. I'm Alan Gervey, and I know Kerry Kasem is so excited for this segment because the only docuseries that she likes more than her own dad's show, which is on Reels, the autopsy show that we talked about in the first segment, is Making a Murderer.
That's right.
And it took the world by storm. I'll tell you, it's a one-year anniversary today of the first episode, and we are fortunate enough to have with us one of Brendan Dossie's post-conviction litigation attorneys, Stephen Drizin, who's clinical professor and assistant dean at Northwestern Law School, and importantly, he has worked extensively with Northwestern Center of Wrongful Convictions of Youth. Stephen Drizin, welcome to Gervey's Law.
It's a real pleasure to be on your show, Alan, and Kerry, and I look forward to our conversation.
Thanks, and it's great to have you. Before we get into the specifics of Making a Murderer, you have done so much wonderful work for juveniles over the years with wrongful convictions, false confessions, coerced confessions. Tell us, is our legal system failing juveniles?
Big time. I would say that the real problem with juveniles, at least in the interrogation context, is that when you use tactics that are designed to break down adult suspects on juveniles, it just makes it that much easier to get coerced and false confessions. And our law enforcement officers really don't draw any distinctions between whether it's a kid in the box or an adult in the box. They're trained to interrogate them as if they were seasoned criminals.
And then when you put in the mix someone with a low IQ or someone who may have some social challenges, other things on their mind, how in the heck can we expect to get good probative evidence for a court?
Well, it's very difficult to get that. And, you know, what happened in Brendan Dassey's case, and in so many cases I've worked on, is, you know, it's a classic situation of how not to interrogate youthful or disabled suspects, and it's a recipe for false and unreliable confessions.
But not only did they have this terrible, terrible interrogation of this poor boy, they didn't even show the entire interrogation to the courtroom and to the jurors. So they didn't see him. You know, they only showed what would be good for the prosecution, not what really happened in there. And that was very, very upsetting. When you watch this, and you know, it's upsetting that it takes a TV show to bring justice to this situation. But that's exactly what's happening right now in my case. So, but thank God for it. Why were they allowed to get away with that, not playing the entire interrogation?
Well, the prosecution played a good portion of the interrogation on March 1st, the one in which Brendan confesses, in its case in chief. But the defense attorneys never played the tape in their case. And so the jury only saw this straight through and didn't see the coercion, the police fact-feeding, the contamination, the promises of leniency. None of that came up in the defense case. And it's a very different perspective when you just watch something for 3 and 3.5 hours. You lose all of the nuance that jurors needed to see and needed to appreciate. So that's really on Brendan's defense attorneys for the most part.
Stephen, let me ask you this, and stay with me for a minute, because I need a little bit to get to where I need to go. But when we talk about prenuptial agreements, we have a requirement under the law that an attorney representing both spouses review it, and there's a conflict of interest, so you have to make sure that there's an attorney who is not the one person who is pursuing the prenup, has another attorney. Why in the heck isn't there a requirement under any of these interrogations situations with a juvenile that an attorney be present?
Well, there should be a requirement that an attorney be present. And in fact, there was a law that was passed recently in California to require attorneys present for juvenile interrogations. The law was passed by both houses of the General Assembly, and it was vetoed by Governor Brown. And the reason why these laws are so hard to put in place is that from a law enforcement perspective, their thinking is if there's an attorney in the interrogation room, the attorney is just going to counsel the juvenile suspect not to talk. That may or may not be true. But the reality is that young people have constitutional rights just like adults. The problem is that they're ill-equipped to understand them and exercise them. So if you're not going, if you give children rights that they can't exercise, you really need to level the playing field. And the only way to do that is with an attorney.
To me, it sounds inconsistent. We have the Miranda warnings. We have the right to remain silent. I think that all people, whether you're a majority or a minor, should have those rights. We're talking to Stephen Drizin, who is representing Brendan Dassey for post-conviction litigation. Stephen, give us an update, because a lot of people want to hear. They may not have heard. What is the current situation with your client, the nephew of Stephen Avery?
So I've been representing Brendan since 2007, and we filed a post-conviction petition in the state courts. That was the hearing that was shown in the film and the docuseries. We lost in front of the same judge who tried Brendan. We then took that case up on appeal and lost on appeal. We then filed a petition with the Wisconsin Supreme Court to review the case. They declined. And this fall, we filed, a year ago in the fall, we filed a petition for a writ of habeas corpus in federal court for a review of the state court decisions. And in August of this year, we learned that we prevailed. The judge found that the state courts had unreasonably applied constitutional law in holding that Brendan's confession was a voluntary confession. That case is now on appeal. It'll be fully briefed early next week, and sometime in the year 2017, we will then argue that case before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, one step below the United States Supreme Court.
Now, I thought he got released and then it was stayed, and what happened with that? Because I heard he was getting released.
Yeah, it was a lot of drama in November. We had filed, after we won a petition for writ of habeas corpus, we had filed a petition for Brendan's release on bond. And the reason we did that is because the district court not only found that his confession was coerced, but had real serious questions about whether it was reliable or true. And we filed a petition for bond. It sat with the district court for a while. And then the week before Thanksgiving, the district court ruled that Brendan was entitled to be released on his own recognizance. So there was a flurry of activity getting ready for Brendan to be released. The state of Wisconsin filed an emergency petition to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals stayed the decision to release Brendan.
And in their emergency motion, they wrote the following: this case involves the brutal rape, murder, and mutilation of Teresa Halbach, that 16-year-old Brendan Dassey committed with his uncle, Stephen Avery. Dassey admitted to his crimes in extensive detail in an entirely voluntary confession, during which investigators used techniques that courts around the country have approved time and again. The motion states that the prosecutors also claim that Dassey's release would irreparably harm the state and the public interest. How do you respond to that, Stephen?
Well, we did respond, and we said that that's ridiculous. First of all, in almost every case where someone is petitioning for habeas corpus relief, you're appealing from a conviction of someone who's convicted of a serious crime. So the conviction is vacated. You get to go back to square one. And in this particular case, the court had questions about whether, in fact, Dassey committed the crime. As far as Brendan being some kind of a threat to public safety or a risk of fleeing the jurisdiction, that's absurd. You know, Brendan had never been in trouble with the law prior to this arrest. And Brendan has a near-perfect record of behavior in the Department of Corrections. His only violation was for, obtaining 5 packets of ramen noodles from a fellow inmate.
Yeah.
Because he was hungry.
He was hungry, yeah. You know, I know a lot of people share that view, Stephen, because, you know, just this morning I had my personal trainer over at my house, and he was telling me how he was just so offended by people thinking that Brendan Dassey was, in fact, a danger. He's watched every minute of the Netflix series and could not believe that anyone in their right mind would think that way. We need to take a quick break. We're going to be back in a minute. We're going to talk to you, Stephen, about the documentary and the fact that they've just ordered a second season. We want to know what's going to come next for Making a Murderer. So if you're a fan of Making a Murderer, like my trainer is, you need to listen to the next segment. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here in the new studio at 790 KABC.
It's Macy's One Day Sale
Saturday
with our lowest prices of the season
and amazing deals of the day store-wide.
Like Charter Club cashmere sweater,
now only $39.99.
Take an extra 40% off
clearance designer handbags.
Save $100
on a Samsung Gear S2 Classic smartwatch.
Plus, get a free strap.
Clearance dress shirts and ties,
75% off.
And save 70%
on all Martha Stewart flannel bedding,
sheet sets,
and throw.
Earn plenty points during Macy's One Day Sale.
Plenty.
Lots of points.
Lots of places.
One rewards program.
Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Getting the most from your workouts means wearing the finest performance gear. Fabric so comfortable you could, well, curl up and sleep in it. Introducing Sheeks, spelled S-H-E-E-X, the world's first performance bedding. Sheeks combines everything we love about quality performance fabric with everything we love about comfortable bedding, so you sleep better. Now try Sheeks for 30 nights risk-free. Go to sleepcoolnow.com. Use promo code 1717 and get $40 off any sheet set. That's sleepcoolnow.com. Promo code 1717.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Well, let's hope for Stephen Avery and Brendan Dassey's sake the glass is half full, not half empty. We're talking to Stephen Drizin, who's clinical professor at Northwestern Law School. He is also assistant dean of the Bloom Legal Clinic, and he has served as the legal director of the clinic's renowned Center of on Wrongful Convictions from March 2005 to September 2013. And since 2007, he has represented Brendan Dassey, of course, the nephew of Stephen Avery, on the docuseries Making a Murder. There are a lot of important events that will be taking place as we move forward. Stephen, tell us what the next steps are for Brendan Dassey's case.
Well, right now we're just in a bit of a waiting game. The state's going to file its final brief. The matter will be fully briefed for before the Seventh Circuit. Sometime, you know, right around the new year, we expect the Seventh Circuit to set oral argument in the case, probably sometime in February or March, and then each side will get a chance to argue their case to a three-judge panel of the Seventh Circuit, and then we'll wait another 8 or 9 weeks or so to find out what the decision is, whether the district court's decision vacating Brendan's conviction will stand or whether it will be reversed. If it's reversed, then there will be an opportunity to seek a review of the case by the entire 13 members of the Seventh Circuit. And if that fails, there's one more shot left, and that's the United States Supreme.
And that will be in the third year of the Netflix docuseries, Carrie.
Oh, I just want to know if there's any chance that these cops, this detective link, can be prosecuted for what they have done to Stephen and Brendan. Detective Link, I have to say, when I first watched this series, I signed the petition, and I went online, and I couldn't believe the audacity of this detective to make... He was making fun of Brendan. He was putting up pictures of Shrek and comparing him. He was going out with the DA that had an awful reputation and bragging about it. This man is... I want to say his behavior is disgusting. It's despicable. And I want to know, can this guy get prosecuted?
Well, Detective Lank's conduct in this case is more egregious when it comes to Stephen Avery. He was not one of the detectives who interrogated Brendan, and Brendan's case is primarily about the confession. Stephen has a very powerful, successful new post-conviction lawyer whose aim is to prove that Lank and other members of the Manitowoc and Calumet County Sheriff's offices planted evidence in Stephen's case. If she is successful in being able to prove that police officers planted evidence in this case, then I think the question of whether or not they can be prosecuted will be revisited.
Great.
Stephen, you wouldn't believe it. There's a lot of people who want to talk to you. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. We've had so many people on hold. We'll take one quick call. Jeff in L.A., you're on Gervie's Law with Stephen Drizin.
Hi, Stephen. How are you? It's great to hear from you. I had a couple of quick questions. I'm actually the creator of TikTok Manitowoc, which is very supportive of the whole Brendan Dassey and Stephen Avery case. And we saw recently that you filed a motion for the amicus curiae with a professor of law at University of Virginia. I believe his name is Brandon Garrett. And we wanted to know what we can expect from that motion.
Yeah, there was a brief filed to support Brendan's position by three organizations: the Juvenile Law Center, the Wicklander and Zurofsky, which is one of the leading interrogation training outfits in the country, and Brendan Garrett, probably the leading social science researcher on wrongful convictions. That brief was filed just a few days ago, and it's now up to the court to decide whether or not they will accept the amicus brief. What's interesting about that case is the brief is that Licklander and Zulowski, which is probably one of the leading firms in the country on how to interrogate suspects, is highly critical of the way these officers interrogated Brendan. And so we felt it was important that the court know that not only the mothers, social workers, psychologists, parents, defense attorneys, some judges, and others feel that Brendan's interrogation led to an involuntary confession. But even law enforcement agencies are using that video to teach interrogators how not to interrogate juvenile suspects. So that's what the brief is about, and also about why when you use these kinds of tactics on juveniles, you exponentially increase the risk of false confessions.
So we only have a couple minutes. Jeff, first of all, I think I actually walked out of the room. I think you should take over and you should do my job.
That's what it's like when Erwin Chemerinsky's on the show. I might as well just wave goodbye to both of you and walk out.
Jeff, do you have any other quick questions? Because you're doing a much better job than I am.
Thank you. I do. Actually, Mr. President, I was wondering if you had a chance to notice the two photographs that I posted on TikTok Manitowoc recently. The back of the hood latch of the RAV4, one photo that Pam Sturm took shows no blood, and the one at the crime lab does actually show blood on the back of it. And it seems like that would possibly be proof of planting of the evidence.
I did see those photographs, and I want to say I do read Tic Tac Manitowoc, and many of the other people who have been following this case intently. There's been some great information that has been dug up by watchers and viewers of Making the Murderer. I know that the area on the hood latch is one of the areas that is going to be tested by Stephen's attorney, Kathleen Zellner, and hopefully she is seeing those photos and will make it a part of Stephen's case.
How is it not just already a problem when you have a needle hole through the blood of Stephen Avery's tube that was put away for evidence in a box? I mean, how did not break the case right there? That doesn't make any sense to me. Nobody ever came with a good excuse of how that blood or how that needle was put through the tube there.
Jeff?
I believe that Ken Kratz actually had a witness that was going to step forward and testify during Avery's trial, but I don't believe that happened. But a lot of the theories and going around from nurses and people that were involved in investigating the case have realized that, you know, that's how the blood actually gets into those vials, is to whenever they adjust the capsule into the needle that goes into the skin, that it actually penetrates that. And that's what created the hole. My big thing was the coagulation of the blood that's around the rim, like the stopper had been pulled out and the air had touched the blood and dried. So it seems odd that they would pull the cap, but that's just my theory.
Jeff, how do people follow the Tic Tac if they want to find out more information?
Well, if they want more information, they can always go to reddit.com. Our subreddit is called Tic Tac Manitowoc. We have a lot of investigators, armchair investigators, I guess you could call them, that they really peruse the case. They've gone through the transcripts. They've gone through the statements, the CASO report or CASO report. They have all the information. Basically, you know, if you have any questions, you can always just create a Reddit profile, visit us, and ask your question. We'll be happy to answer it.
Jeff, we appreciate the call, and I'm sure Stephen Drizin does as well. Good luck with that.
Sure do.
Stephen, I only have another minute here. We want to kind of wrap it up. How do you see this progressing? You mentioned Kathleen Zellner, and then, of course, we have another series coming up. I guess it will be produced by Moira Demos and Laura Ricardo. What do you see happening in the coming season with both Brendan and Stephen Avery?
Well, I think it's going to focus on the post-conviction efforts. I mean, you're going to probably see in-depth coverage of the kind of testing that Kathleen Zellner is seeking on Stephen's behalf.
You're going to have an update on Brendan's victory in federal court and also on how Brendan's case is going to play out. I don't know exactly what's coming in terms of how many episodes and or what Laura and Moira are developing, but I'm waiting for it like everyone else is, with bated breath.
Well, we appreciate everything you do. As a person who's a proponent of juveniles' rights, you have done incredible work to help people who sometimes can't help themselves. So keep it up. We appreciate it. We want to have you back in the season. Maybe you can bring Kathleen Zellner on as well. Carrie, you have one more thing to say.
Yes, I just want to say my prayers are with you and Brendan, and I really believe that you're gonna have a victory.
Thanks, Stephen, for being with us today.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're listening to Stephen Drizin, who Carrie's shaking her head. She can't believe it. We're going to talk more about it, but we have an important case to talk about after the break. It's Carrie's case, and we have her attorney here, Jesse Kaplan. He has been sitting here smiling. He's got a lot to say. You don't want to miss this.
No.
I don't want to miss it. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on 790 KBC Talk Radio Evolved.
Searching for that perfect holiday gift? Why not give a gift that brings people together to serve and celebrate? One Hope Wine has thoughtfully crafted wine and gifts for everyone on your list, and each one supports a meaningful cause. One Hope Wine has a vineyard in the heart of Napa and award-winning wines made in collaboration with Rob Mondavi Jr. For easy holiday shopping, go to onehopewine.com and see how your purchase gives back to those who really need a gift. onehopewine.com. Serve and celebrate this holiday season.
A quick reminder to register for the final free Money Matters Retirement Seminar of the Year, 7 p.m. Thursday, December 29th, Courtyard by Marriott Laguna Hills. Get an up-to-date analysis of what to do in the current stock market. Find out 5 strategies you can still use to help lower your 2016 tax bill when possible. The best time to take Social Security. How to make sure your portfolio is properly diversified, plus more. Seating is limited. Reserve at moneymatters.net. That's moneymatters.net. Or call 800-994-0.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Aaron Tippin. During my career in the music business, I've met all kinds of people, made lots of really good friends. I know it can be hard to say no to your friends, but when it comes to drugs, there's no other way. Even prescription or over-the-counter drug abuse can prevent you from achieving your goals. So do yourself a favor when it comes to choosing whether or not to succumb to peer pressure. Say yes to a drug-free life. This message is brought to you by the United States Air Force.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Yes, we are back right here in beautiful Culver City, KBC Studios. I'm Alan Gervie, and I want to tell you, if you Google the best defamation lawyers in this city, in Los Angeles, you are going to find Jesse Kaplan, Friedman and Tatelman in Los Angeles, who is currently representing our very own Carrie Kasem in her lawsuit against a former business partner who she's alleging stole and is holding ransom the footage of the documentary she was making on the topic of elder abuse. Bruce. Jesse Kaplan is here in studio with us, and he has so many accolades. I wish we had another hour to talk about his victory over Courtney Love, yes, of course, and then some other big victories of people that we can't talk about because he is very sensitive, being a lawyer, being a reputable lawyer, that he doesn't want to necessarily defame anyone, even though he beats them in court. Jesse, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you, Alan. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. Carrie,
yes.
Why don't you tell us what you and Jesse are up to?
Okay, so, you know, I found him. I had this person. I'm not going to say her name. She actually, for 2.5 years, had just kind of, I don't want to say destroyed my life, but tried to make my life a miserable.
I remember.
Yeah, and I just kept calling him every month. Okay, is this enough evidence? Is this enough? And he took my calls, and he sat with me quite a long time, never charged me, kept giving me free advice. But I found him. I found not that he wants me to say that, but I did. I kept saying, is this enough? Is this enough? And he didn't take my case and take my money until he had enough evidence. And that's an ethical guy, because any other lawyer would have said, oh, yeah, come on in. Here's my retainer fee, and knew that he didn't have a case.
So, Jesse, why does she have a case?
Well, let me hold real quick, because that was the first one. He won for me.
Wait, Jesse's was our guest.
Yes, but wait. We're on two cases here. He won a civil harassment case for me against this woman, and then this happened, which was
this.
I was making a documentary for the last year and a half of my life with a man, and he decided for no reason at all, none at all.
Well, you don't know. We don't know the other side.
Right, I guess he came up with something.
He had a reason.
I guess some reason. And just said, sorry, not going to work with you anymore. If you want your footage, no joke, he said, if you want it bad enough, you can give me $100,000.
Extortion. Go ahead, Jesse.
Well, so Carrie's been producing this documentary along with her foundation for how long has it been, Carrie?
A little over, about a year and a half.
And for whatever reasons, and maybe it doesn't matter, but for whatever reason, the relationship soured. And now you're in a situation where, unfortunately, you don't have possession of the footage.
No.
And you can't move forward with the documentary. And you have a former partner who won't give it back to you, at least unless you, perhaps resolve the matter with him on whatever his terms might be.
Outside in the back lane.
Was that PC enough?
Yeah, exactly. Jess, but I do have a question. As an attorney, the first thing I always think about are written agreements. In this situation, tell us, does a written agreement, a contract, control the situation?
It seems so simple, doesn't it, Alan? Because, unfortunately, if there was a written agreement, not even a very good one in place, this probably would have been avoided. And, you know, the companies, for the vast majority of films, motion pictures, movies, you're going to have a lot of written contracts.
Right.
For example, Disney, they have a lot of lawyers, a big legal department.
A lot of pages in those contracts.
Yeah, so everything's going to be buttoned up. So the large majority of the time, there will be contracts that will explicitly dictate everyone's rights, who owns the actual work, the copyright, and various other rights. So the key is, and this may seem very obvious, but unfortunately, it's often overlooked, is you should have a written contract that explicitly spells out what everyone's rights, responsibilities are.
Yeah.
And you know, this.
And, you know, it's ironic because Carrie has worked with me for a long time. Why didn't you come to me, Carrie? I would have taken care of this business.
Would you really?
Well,
you do workers' compensation.
I do everything.
I would have, if you would have taken it, that would have been great.
No, I'm not talking about the litigation part. I'm talking about get something
we
in
had.
Writing.
No. Troy Martin wrote up a contract. We do have stuff. I'm not green to this.
Right.
So I did definitely have contracts. There is also letters. I trusted this man with everything.
But trust
him.
As Jesse knows,
that's the problem.
That's
it
the
is,
problem.
And it is. And why would I do a documentary that was owned by someone else? Why would I have somebody follow me around for a year and a half, getting everything that I have, shooting everything with me in it, and not owning it? That makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense, but what I'm going to ask Jesse right now, because I know he's had this in a lot of his cases, is that our assumptions, what is right and what is ethical, have nothing to do with the law, does it?
Well, you know, the problem is we trust other people, and everything may be going great at the beginning. Everyone's having a great time. Right. Everything seems swell. But what happens when the relationship sours, or even worse, what happens if the project succeeds?
Yeah.
And it starts, you know, there's a lot of money being made or to be made. And you don't have something that clearly tells it what your rights are. So, but the real problem is it seems like, you know, you're trusting everyone. Everything feels right at the beginning.
I've also secured all the money for the film. So, I mean, why would I secure, and it was a lot of money for this film, just to give it away to someone?
Doesn't make any sense. But Jesse, is that evidence important?
Well, it is. At the end of the day, the fact that there is not a written agreement that necessarily spells out all the rights is not going to be determinative. What we're going to look at is ultimately what the parties did or didn't do. And you know, copyright law, which will apply to a large extent here as to who the copyright owner is, who the author of the movie is, will come into play and will help the court or the jury decide who the actual owner is.
And that's what's really important. We're talking to Jesse Kaplan of Friedman and Tailman. Jesse, has he lawyered up?
What are we talking about? Yes, he has. No, he has. We're sort of at the beginning of the lawsuit. But going back to your last question, at the end of the day, it's not always easy to tell who owns a movie opposed to a photograph or a painting where there's one artist, there's one author.
Exactly. So what's going to happen, Carrie, first, because we only have a couple minutes, but I want to hear from both of you. And I know that Jesse's telling you, you know, keep it restrained.
I am going to be restrained. Here's the thing. I never wanted to lose the relationship with this person. I mean, he went through the same thing. I felt horrible for the
Elder
situation.
Abuse,
that he, yes. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, we could be a great team here. I was so flabbergasted when this happened. It was like automatic just turned on me. I'm going, why? What's happening? What's going on here? So look, I'm a fair person.
Well,
you know,
we know that.
If he came back and said, look, I'm sorry. This is what happened. This is what I thought you did. And whatever it may be, let's finish this film.
Do you think that he is going to use the footage in violation of your rights?
What's going on, and what I can say is that I had hundreds of people write me with their situations.
Yeah.
I personally asked these people to talk to us and to be on film. They did it because it was for Kasem Cares, the foundation that helped them, not because of a man that they didn't know that came out of the woodwork and asked him. He is continuing to film these people, and we have an agreement that he cannot do that. That is part of the agreement. So he has gone and beyond.
Jesse, how do you respond?
Well,
I'm going to pull your mic down so you can talk easier.
I'm not used to these mics.
Just pulling your mic down, that's all.
There you go. Just pulling it down a little.
You know, back to this love line talk. Go ahead.
We're going to have to go through the process, I think, a little bit here. Ultimately, I think this will get resolved. And it is an unfortunate situation because, you know, I'm a business litigator. So typically the most important thing in business litigation is money. But here's a unique situation because this documentary, while money is nice, there were other things really, other goals that were much, much more important. And Carrie can speak to those. But this documentary was designed to help people. It was designed to raise awareness, et cetera. So,
and not for me to make a dime off it, because in my contract, all the money, if it made money, remember, documentaries don't make money. If it made money, was going to go to Kasem Cares, not to me. I was not going to make a dime off of this.
Yeah. Well, I want to wish you both luck.
Thank you.
Sounds like you have, Carrie, a great attorney on your side here with Jesse. And he's my kind of guy because he's so level-headed, you know, and with you, there's a lot of emotion involved, which we understand. But he's actually representing your best interest from a legal perspective, and that's what you need when you have these kind of emotional issues.
True.
Jesse, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Alan. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
We will keep up to date in you know, what's going on in the litigation. I want to tell everyone, next week we have a special show. Next week for our holiday show, it's going to be my family show. My mom will be here.
Yay!
My brother, for the first time, will be here. And we're going to talk about what it's like in Canada, because so many people have pledged to move to Canada when Donald Trump takes office. So for all of you who want to move to Canada, we are going to hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak, my mom and my brother, about the legal ties to Canada and what it is actually like on a day-to-day living in Winnipeg, for instance, which is 45 below today. So all of you people who are moving to Canada, this
C'est la
is your
vie.
Chance.
Go.
No,
go.
Listen to the show next week. We're going to talk holidays. We're going to talk Christmas. We're going to talk Hanukkah. And we're going to talk New Year's. Want to thank our guest today, Stephen Drizin, from the Brendan Dassey attorney, Jesse Kaplan, Carrie's attorney. And we will see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.